Let me read you a translation of the last two paragraphs of our text. For this mitzvah, this law, which I am commanding you today, is not too wondrous for you to follow, nor too remote from you. It is not in heaven that you should say, "Who will ascend to heaven to obtain it for us and explain it to us that we may do it?" Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, "Who will cross over the sea to obtain it for us and explain it to us that we may do it?" For the word is very close to you, in your mouth and heart, so you can do it. See, I have set before you today life and good, and death and evil, in that I am commanding you today to love Adonai, to walk in the ways, and keep the mitzvot, the laws, the statutes, and the judgments of your God, that you may live and increase as Adonai your God blesses you in the land into which you have come to inherit. But if your heart turns aside and you do not hearken, but let yourself be led astray to worship other gods and serve them, then I tell you today that you will surely perish. You shall not live long upon the land whither you have crossed the Jordan to inherit. Today I call as witness against you heaven and earth. Life and death I have set before you, blessing and curse, that you might choose life, and you and your seed might live, loving Adonai your God, hearkening to God's voice, and cleaving to the one who is your life and the length of your days, dwelling upon the land which Adonai your God promised to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. And some of you know, every time on Yom Kippur, I read this text, I always think of Franz Kafka, another Jewish genius, a great prophetic voice of the 20th century. I mean, you all know the name Kafka. He lived in Prague. He died of tuberculosis 10 years before the Holocaust. Still a fairly young man, tall, looked like an actor. He spent his life thinking about the law. His whole life was devoted to thinking about the law in novels like The Trial and The Castle, great modern classics. Ha, you know, Kafka wrote his first great story the day of Yom Kippur. He came home from the synagogue, and that's when he became Kafka, with a story called The Judgment. But he had conflicted views of the law. Sometimes he felt that this law, and I mean the law of life, the law that gives fullness of life, blessing of life. Sometimes he felt that the law was out there and real, but tragically, we couldn't enter into it. We can feel its radiance, but only at a distance. We can never find it and do it. No hope of that. And then sometimes he thought it wasn't really there at all. It was just a lie. It was institutional propaganda of some kind. There is no law of life to be found anywhere in the universe. Those were the bad days. And then sometimes he felt that the law was not only there, but just as our portion from Deuteronomy says, the law is there and we can choose it. We can fully enter it. The law of life is there. We don't even need anyone to get it for us. We can enter right into it. It's only this destructive drive, this death drive that holds us back from the law of life. Only fear of the fullness of life, fear of the radiance itself. So Kafka created an image of the law, which became part of the spiritual history of the West. Fantastic to create an image that grows so strong decade after decade. In this image, a man from the village wants to enter the law. He gets to the door. He sees the radiance through the door, but there is a guard who stops him. The guard stops him. And yet, perhaps he could just walk through. Perhaps he could just walk through. Or perhaps the radiance he sees through the door would be enough. Perhaps that radiance would be enough if only he knew it. When I think of the law that gives life, I think especially of my friends in Israel. The political situation is heartbreaking. The temptation to be too angry or too heartless, or on the other hand, too weak, too naive, too nice, so to say. That temptation, and especially when billions of people are watching this small population, watching the nation on screens around the world. I'm sure many Israelis, when they read this text in Torah about the law that guarantees life, I'm sure they say, show us that law and we'll choose it. But it's hard to see through all this murk, all this fog, all this craziness. Last week I talked about karma. We can look for patterns in our own lives, and also we can look for patterns in Jewish history. I can imagine in 1940, I can imagine a Jewish family in Europe threatened by the Holocaust. A father wondering if he could save his children, feeling helpless. And maybe he prays and says, Lord, if we survive this, if the Jewish people survive this, next time, let us be stronger than our enemies. And next time, let the lives of their children depend on our restraint. We will try to be just if we're strong. But let us grow strong in the next century. If somebody made that wish, it was granted, for now Israel is strong and has to use its strength justly. But it's complicated. It's complicated. And I'm sure to our Israeli friends, both on the left and the right, it sometimes seems that the law of life is high in the air, and no one will bring it down. And it's on the other side of the sea, and no one will swim toward it. I'm sure it sometimes seems impossible, but I can tell you this. When there are people of goodwill trying to find the law of life, growing angry sometimes, disagreeing, arguing, but listening to one another, and drawing each other through their very conflict more and more deeply into truth. When they seek the law of life that way, I can tell you, it's already there. It's already there. There is already heightened life, the energies of life. See, you think the law is hidden from you, and it's already working among you. You think the door is closed to you, Kafka would say, but you're already through it. You just don't know it. There is no need for you to leave the house, Kafka writes. This is a quote. There is no need for you to leave the house, he writes. Stay at your table and listen. Be completely quiet and alone. The world will offer itself to you to be unmasked. It can't do otherwise. In its rapture, it will dance before you. Because, Kafka says, if paradise, with its tree of life, was really paradise, then it could never be lost. It could never have been lost. No true paradise can be lost, never, not ever. If we think paradise had been lost, says Kafka, we are victims of an illusion, and it's the eternal illusion. And we now have our Haftorah portion from the prophet Isaiah. The traditional Haftorah on Yom Kippur reminds us that no amount of ritual can compensate for injustice. The lines of Isaiah evoke a thirst for justice, a loathing of hypocrisy, and the image of messianic transformation. Please turn to page 372.
Haley, would you like to come up and read?
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher bachar binvim tovim veratzah v'divrehem hanemarim bemet Baruch atah Adonai habocher batorah v'moshe avdo uv'Yisrael amo uv'invi'ei ha'emet v'atzedek. Va'amar salu salu panu darech harimu mikshol miderech ami.
God said, build a road, clear a path, cast away all stumbling blocks from my people's path. For thus says the Most High and Exalted, who dwells in eternity, whose name is Holy One. I dwell in the heights, in holy space, but equally with those of crushed and humble spirits, to breathe new life into the humble, to renew the heart of those who are crushed. Not forever will I dispute, not eternally will I be angry. For breath unfolds from my presence, I make souls. I smote them angrily for the sin of greed. Angrily I slipped out of sight, and they all turned back to the path of their own desires. Having observed their paths, now I will heal them. I will guide them, offering a recompense of solace to them and their mourners. I, who create the fruit of the lips, say shalom, shalom, to far and near. I, Adonai, will heal them. But the wicked will be like the tossing sea, finding no rest. Its waters tossing up mud and slime. Shalom is not, says my God, for the wicked. So give a full-throated cry, holding nothing back. Raise your voice to the pitch of the shofar and tell my people of their rebelliousness. Proclaim their wrongdoings to the house of Jacob. True, every day they ask me questions. How they would love the intimate knowledge of my paths. They pretend to be a nation which has always acted justly, which has not forsaken the decisions of its God. They ask me for decisions that would declare them innocent. How they would love to be near to God. For what purpose have we fasted when you are not watching? Why should we have afflicted ourselves when you seemed not to know? Looking here on the day you fasted, you were looking for business, grinding down the toilers who work under you. Look here. You fast to dispute, to make trouble, pummeling everyone with wicked fists. You're not fasting today to raise your voice to heaven's height. Is it a fast like this the one I asked for? a day for self-affliction, to bend the head like a reed in a marsh, to sprawl in sackcloth on the ashes. Is this what you call a fast, a day to seek the favor of God? It is not this the fast I ask for, to unlock the shackles of evil, to loosen the thongs of the yoke, to send forth crushed souls to freedom, to tear every yoke in two, to tear up your loaves for the hungry, to bring the poor wanderer home. When you see the naked, clothe them. When you see your own flesh and blood, do not turn aside. Then your light will burst forth like the morning, and new flesh will soon cover your wounds. Your reputation for justice will precede you, and the glory of God will follow close behind. Then when you call, Adonai will respond. As soon as you cry out, God will say, "Here I am." If from your midst you remove the oppressive yoke, the menacing hand, the abusive words, if you reach out to the soul of the hungry, if you ease the soul of the bruised, when your light will shine forth in the darkness, and your shadows will change into noon, Adonai will guide you forever, nourishing your soul like the sun, restoring your bones to vigor. You will become a well-watered garden, a spring of unfailing fresh water. From your midst will step forth rebuilders of ruins. They will restore the foundations of old. You will be known as repairers of walls long breached, people who reclaim old paths to dwell in once more. If you restrain your feet from Shabbat violations, from doing business on the day of my holiness, if you call Shabbat a delight, God's holy time worthy of honor, honoring it by abandoning your customary ways, from doing business and making idle talk, then you will become the delight of Adonai, and I shall lift you over the high places of the earth. I shall nurture you out of the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of God has spoken.